Then you have professional service outsourcing. So here, companies outsource processes to professional service providers for cost savings, particularly in finance, legal, information technology. Example here is outsource payroll processing. So now here what happens is, it's not just cost saving, sometimes it's also about gaining the expertise. Now the outsourcing company, the company who is providing payroll processing as a service, would have a huge manpower. They may have commerce graduates, they may have chartered accountants, company secretaries on their payroll. They are up to date with the latest government regulations, what's happening, the new software available, new technology available. As a company, let's say if you are a hospital chain, you will focus more on your doctors and your nursing staff and patient care rather than focusing on what's the latest software or government regulation for managing the payroll of your doctors, nurses, and your other staff. So what you're doing is you're outsourcing something which is important because you have a chain of hospitals. Let's say you have 40 different hospitals and thousands of staff, from doctors to nurses to support staff, housekeeping staff. So you would not want to focus more on something which is non-core, but which is an integral part of running your organization. You would go to a skilled service provider who would not only ensure seamless processing, but also provide you a cost advantage at the same time. Then we have manufacturing outsourcing. So here, companies sometimes outsource the entire manufacturing. For example, large fashion brands would outsource manufacturing of their apparel to a company in Bangladesh. Or for example, large brands would outsource making of shirts to companies in Ludhiana in Punjab. So here it involves outsourcing the entire engineering of a product component, often seen in the Asia Pacific region. Again, example, Apple outsources the iPhone component to Foxconn in China. So Apple designs it, but it's manufactured elsewhere in a third-party manufacturing facility. So manufacturing is again a key component, but when you talk about BPO, manufacturing doesn't really fit into the BPO gamut of it. But again, that's a very integral part, a very traditional part, where companies design the specifications, the look of a product, what materials are to be used. But rather than investing in their own factory or production unit, they choose a skilled service provider, a manufacturer who could provide them, and they would just sell it to their customers. So Microsoft or fashion industry are typical examples of manufacturing outsourcing. The number fourth is operational outsourcing. So here it is primarily associated with manufacturing industries again, where machine repairs and maintenance are outsourced to third parties for expertise. So again here, let's take example of a pharma company, for example, somebody who is manufacturing medicines. So they are experts in the formulations, the formula, the chemicals, but they are not experts in manufacturing the machinery required for manufacturing and storing and packing medicines. So they're rather than hiring somebody skilled, which is an integral part again, but the non-core part, they would outsource it to companies, providers who are experts in designing and maintaining machines. So here they are outsourcing a support function for machine operators, packing operators. So these are operational outsourcing. So here, so we had examples of process specific outsourcing. That was the first part. That's where the modern concept of BPO evolved. Then we had professional services outsourcing, where it's more into knowledge process outsourcing. So chartered accountants, lawyers, you outsource these processes to companies who provide specialist skilled manpower. Then you had outsourcing the entire manufacturing process, so manufacturing of iPhone components or manufacturing of shirts and apparel. And then we had operational outsourcing, for example, again, is companies who provide machine repairs, maintenance to manufacturing companies and industries. Let's look at the types of outsourcing. So as we discussed, business process outsourcing was outsourcing a part of your business process, which is now evolved into the entire business process management, which we will discuss later. First, let's talk about business process outsourcing. So BPO involves outsourcing non-core processes. Traditionally, it was customer support and finance, back office operations to service providers who are more skilled because that is what they do day in and day out. What is non-core for the organization outsourcing is a core process for the service provider. So they are more skilled, they have trained manpower, and hence it provides you better quality, better monitoring at a lower cost. So emphasis on efficiency and expertise in specific business processes was key. So common BPO services included customer support outsourcing and financial process, for example, account opening or loan processing, form verifications, back office data entry. Customers would fill a physical form when they go to a bank or to a hospital. The scanned copy of those forms would then be emailed or transferred via cloud to a service provider. And there, some part of it will be automated, some part of transferring the physical entry into soft copies of forms would be done manually. So these were traditional BPO processes, voice and non-voice or back office, which were traditionally outsourced. So again, customer service outsourcing, finance outsourcing were the typical examples. And then we moved into the knowledge process outsourcing, which we spoke about, the legal outsourcing, the finance outsourcing, where you take services of chartered accountants or company secretaries. So KPO entails outsourcing high-value tasks demanding domain-specific expertise. So customer service or data entry were not high-value tasks. Those were basic activities for which you did not require skilled manpower. But when it comes to KPO, legal process outsourcing, or finance, in terms of higher processes in finance, you require skilled and certified manpower. Hence, it's called knowledge process outsourcing. The concept remains the same, but because of the knowledge you require, because these are high value activities. So key characteristics for this are it requires specialized industry knowledge, and it often involves research intensive tasks critical for informed decision making. Then we have information technology outsourcing, which started gaining popularity in the late 2000s. So here we have software development as an example. So ITO revolves around outsourcing IT related functions like software development, infrastructure management, and network support. It enables organizations to leverage external expertise and technology without maintaining an in-house IT department. For example, let's talk about bank again as an example. HSBC as a bank. Now it has a huge network. It has thousands of branches, data centers, and to manage all that seamlessly, it needs an IT department. But for a bank to have an in-house IT department, they would need to have an entire vertical of software professionals, network professionals. So in order, rather than doing that in-house, they could outsource it to an IT company like Infosys or Wipro, who are more skilled, who have ready manpower, experienced in managing networks and banking data centers and banking operations. So here, a company like HSBC is outsourcing its software development, network support, infra management to a provider like WNS or Wipro or Infosys. So from BPO to KPO to information technology outsourcing. And then legal process outsourcing is again a subset of your knowledge process outsourcing. It involves outsourcing legal tasks such as contract drafting and legal research. This allows organizations to access cost-efficient legal solutions while ensuring compliance with legal standards. For example, large law firms in the United States would outsource contract drafting or research part to smaller service providers in India or elsewhere, Mexico, India, and other countries. So here, adherence to stringent legal standards, offering specialized legal expertise, and also cost savings. And then we have engineering process outsourcing. Now, EPO focuses on outsourcing engineering activities such as product design. For example, a software company would outsource, for example, Apple, for example. Now, Apple designs its products, but they could outsource certain activities as and when required to a specialist design company. Or a new startup which is looking to launch a new product but may not have an in-house design capability would outsource that part to a service provider. So here, collaboration with clients for seamless integration and the emphasis is on specialized engineering process. So product design outsourcing, CAD/CAM modeling outsourcing are typical processes when it comes to engineering process outsourcing. Then we have the creative aspects of outsourcing, for example, copywriters. So creative process outsourcing caters to creative industries such as graphic design, content writing. So content writing and graphic design, social media management, digital marketing campaigns have gained popularity because of technology and more social networks becoming a key part of advertising and marketing campaigns. So companies may not have skilled graphic designers in-house to create campaigns and designs, design banners for their social media posts or their digital ad campaigns. So here it's creative process outsourcing. Then we come to procurement process outsourcing. Here, companies outsource procurement of raw materials, finished goods, or machinery to a third-party provider who is more skilled, who may have been managing providers for that category of raw material or machinery for other similar clients as well. So they have prior expertise and knowledge about the entire supply chain for that particular industry. So hence, the procurement process outsourcing specializes in procurement and supply chain functions to reduce the turnaround times and to reach out to quality suppliers for raw materials and finished goods. So here, clients leverage expertise and global networks for cost savings. Because as a service provider, if you're catering to a certain industry, you would have a global network of suppliers depending upon the time it requires and also the cost savings which you could pass on to the client. Then comes the healthcare process outsourcing. This again is a big umbrella. Its rights comes from enrolling patients to managing their claims, adjudicating their claims. So healthcare process outsourcing targets the healthcare industry, the hospital chains, the insurance companies, and it offers services like medical billing, coding, and claims processing. So every time a patient would walk into a hospital who has a health insurance, the hospital would make an entire bill of the services provided to the patient, right? From the doctor charges to the nursing charges, the bed or the ICU charges, the medicine used, the equipment used. That is called a medical bill. These bills are submitted to the service provider or the call center company, and they would then check the cost involved against the benefits of the insurance policy of the patient. And that is when they would require whether to pass the insurance claim or go back to the provider or the hospital with certain changes. So medical billing, coding, and claims processing have been traditional processes in the healthcare domain. These enhance the operational efficiency and hence ensure compliance with complex healthcare regulations. For example, if we talk about USA, HIPAA compliance is required for healthcare BPOs. So for companies to hire executives trained and certified would be difficult, but they could easily outsource to a BPO who has a manpower trained and certified as per the HIPAA regulations. So here we come to the advantages and disadvantages of outsourcing. So what you see here are the multiple benefits. This, if you could relate back to the reasons for outsourcing, you would see a lot of those factors here. For example, cost was a major factor when we spoke about the reasons. That's also a major benefit. Companies get skilled manpower who provide at par or at times even better services, but at a reduced cost. So cost benefits, it allows you to focus on your core competencies, improves efficiency, You could focus more on customer because you have skilled manpower. You have, for example, support for your customers 24/7. You could manage your capacity better because your space, your infra is freed up for your core operations. So if you look at reasons of outsourcing, would mirror the benefits you get out of outsourcing. These are the objectives of why you would outsource. So cost reduction, that was the primary reason why companies looked at outsourcing as a business practice. So outsourcing, when done effectively, can significantly reduce operational costs. For example, choosing a skilled partner in a region with favorable currency rates can result in substantial cost savings. If you even talk about the same country, for example, a company in Mumbai, let's say an MNC in Mumbai, if they outsource their customer service operations to a tier 2 city or a tier 3 city, for example, Lucknow or Indore or Vizag, they would be able to hire manpower doing a similar job at a much, much lower cost. Not just the salary costs, but the infra costs as well. So cost has always been the primary reason to outsource, but then it also allows companies to focus on their core business. A bank can focus on the banking operations. A tech company can focus on their technology product by outsourcing the non-core activities. Efficiency, again, because you hire skilled partners who have the domain expertise, it enhances the efficiency of your process. For example, again, if you are launching a new app and you want the app to be tested for bugs and failures, you outsource it to a company who's been doing that for multiple apps. So they have a process, they have a skilled manpower who know how to test a new app or a new web software. So what you do is you are getting a domain expertise. If you're outsourcing legal research to a legal service provider, they've been doing that for multiple clients. They know the regulations. Same comes for financial outsourcing or procurement outsourcing. So what you're doing is you're outsourcing a non-core process, but you are getting domain experts which your company may not possess. So you're reducing the cost, but you're also improving the quality and efficiency of the outsourced process. And then increased reach. Outsourcing enhances productivity and efficiency, enabling organizations to expand locally and globally. What happens is you have multiple time zones. So hence you're able to cater to different markets and increase market reach by reaching more customers and spreading business globally. So a company like Microsoft would have their support center in India, which is catering to their customers globally. The provider in India would be running a 24/7 operations and providing support to customers of Microsoft or any other company 24/7. So it increases the reach of the company as well. And then it allows you to focus on the customer, because outsourcing allows companies to focus more on customer feedback and satisfaction. So you need to remember that what is non-core for the company which is outsourcing is a core function for the service provider. So that is where they are more focused on delivering that process. And skills, again, you are able to partner with a provider who has the specific skills for that particular business process, whether it is claims processing, whether it is app development, whether it is procurement, or whether it is design and manufacturing. Again, capacity. So if you outsource your non-core functions, which is manpower intensive in traditional outsourcing, you're able to manage your capacity better. Sometimes you have to scale up or scale down operations. So hiring internal employees can become a challenge, but service providers already have a large manpower with them and they hire at a much, much quicker scale compared to clients who outsource processes to them. It also helps you in risk handling. So outsourcing transfers associated risks to service providers which are better equipped to handle them. For example, dedicated attention from the provider to minimize and manage these risks effectively. So for a company to focus on risks in non-core processes would take up a lot of resources, time, and focus. But since these are co-processes, revenue generating activities for the service provider, they are more focused and more skilled to manage these associated risks. And then scalability. As I spoke about scaling up and scaling down, it becomes much easier if you outsource. It facilitates immediate scaling up during peak business periods because the service provider is doing that for multiple clients. So their hiring and training turnaround time is much quicker compared to the clients who outsource these processes. But along with advantages, we also have some disadvantages of outsourcing. The first is dependency. Once you outsource, you become dependent on the service provider or providers, depending upon how many vendors do you have. So as the time passes on, your in-house capability to carry on that process diminishes and you become dependent upon your provider. So leaders relinquish control and become overly dependent on service providers, posing challenges in risk mitigation. For example, we spoke about the example of app development. When you outsource your entire development process to an IT service provider, you lose control and you are dependent upon the changes that are to be made to your app or the bugs that are to be corrected. So you lose dependency. It's always about a trade-off. This is where governance and SLAs will become a key part of outsourcing, which we will discuss on how to mitigate these risks. Loss of control is another example, another disadvantage, which can be controlled by better governance. So heightened dependency often results in a loss of control over processes, adding to business risks. Risk again increases because outsourcing involves sharing intellectual property and confidential data. We've had cases where customer data has been leaked by service providers. For example, credit card details of customers has been leaked in the black market. So hence, for all these risks, governance, SLAs, and policies become a key part. Because with advantages, there will always be disadvantages, which will have to be controlled to ensure that the primary objective of outsourcing is achieved, but to minimize and eliminate the disadvantages. So hidden costs could also be there. Sometimes you may overlook certain aspects during engagement, which could lead to change requests. This happens when companies start to outsource new. Companies who've been outsourcing for decades now, they have a process, they understand what are the hidden costs, what aspects are to be covered. But if you're a new client, if you're outsourcing for the first time, if you're outsourcing a new process for the first time, some aspects can be overlooked and that could result in scope creep and hence request increase in your costs. Privacy threat with data being prominent now, with technology being prominent, we've seen phishing attacks, we've seen hacking of servers. This always remains a concern. It would remain a concern even if it is in-house or outsourced. But when outsourcing, you have to be thorough about the kind of technology, the firewalls, the policies which the provider is using. Then you have knowledge depletion as a disadvantage. Now, during transition, process knowledge transfer to service providers may lead to employee layoffs and knowledge loss. When you are outsourcing an existing process, we discuss an example of customer care process. So if you have an in-house team of, let's say, 100 customer care professionals, and now you decide to outsource it to a provider in India or Philippines or Sri Lanka, you are laying off employees in your parent organization. And those employees understood your processes, your business, your customer requirements. So there is a certain knowledge depletion which may happen at times, but all these are to be controlled with proper planning of transition and operations. Coordination challenges could also be there because of lack of culture, lack of difference in time zones. Now, outsourcing to countries with low labor costs may result in challenges due to cultural differences, time zone variations, and language barriers. In India, we speak English, but the way we speak English the workforce speaks English is a little different than how people would communicate in, say, US or UK. It's not just about the language, but it's also about the way you speak it, the kind of phrases you may use, the cultural implications are always there. And then you also have time zone variations. So somebody who in the US is coordinating with a service provider in India, or the employees working in India, you need to have time zone overlaps to ensure seamless communication and sharing of information. So these are multiple disadvantages, but as I said, these disadvantages do not negate the benefits of outsourcing, and these could be managed by effective governance, which we would cover in one of the future chapters. So let's conclude the first chapter. Now, dynamic outsourcing landscape provides a versatile array of services. It moved from traditional outsourcing of call center, back office, data entry, and it has now moved to knowledge process outsourcing, IT outsourcing, legal process outsourcing, data analytics, and we would see even further advancements with machine learning and quantum computing. Now, success in outsourcing hinges on adaptability to changes, informed strategic decision making, and the alignment of outsourcing strategies with specific business objectives. All these become a key part of the first two stages of when you decide to outsource, what to outsource, why to outsource, where to outsource, and whom to outsource, and then the entire transition phase, which we will again discuss in detail. So navigating this landscape effectively ensures that organization harnesses the full potential of outsourcing. So you have disadvantages, but if you manage it properly, if you can negate the disadvantages and the risks, you'll be able to harness the full potential and benefits of outsourcing your business process to a service provider. That's it for the first chapter. I'll see you in the next chapter. Thank you.